If you would take out your Bibles, please. We're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 24. We'll be reading the first 12 verses. Luke 24. For the next few weeks, actually, we'll be finishing out the Gospel of Luke. We have the road to Emmaus next week. And then we have a missions conference the week after that. And then Jesus appearing before the disciples and Luke's account of the ascension, which takes place at the end of Luke. He describes it again in more detail in Acts, but we'll be just using the Luke version. And that's the next few weeks. So we continue the story of Christ's resurrection and how he appeared to so many people, hundreds and hundreds of people, for the next 40 days after he rose again. But the message of today is that the king is risen. The king is here. Many weeks ago, we started studying Holy Week, and we started with Jesus entering Jerusalem. He entered Jerusalem like a victorious king, and then he was arrested, and he was beaten, and he was crucified. But on the third day, he rose again to prove he really is the king. Jesus really is king above all kings, much more victorious even than the entrance into Jerusalem. There is no authority that is not under his. There is no authority that is not under his. Jesus is alive. Now, if you really struggle with that, if you can't really believe that Jesus rose again and is alive forever, I would love to talk to you about that. It'll be a nice, respectful talk. I would love to sit and talk through that a little bit. But I have to tell you, I know Jesus rose again and is alive forever. As well as I know anything, I know Jesus rose again and is alive. He has conquered death. Death no longer has any power over him at all. As well as I know anything, I know Jesus is God, and he is the way and the truth, the life. As well as I know anything, I know Jesus is the path to the Father. There's no other path. Let's read about his resurrection. Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. Nothing is the same. The one thing that all Christians agree on is that Jesus is alive. The resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. It's the center of our life together as the church. Jesus' resurrection is really the beginning of the New Testament, by the way. The writings come later. The resurrection is first. Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. The world is redeemed. It's bought back from the fall. That's what redeemed is, to buy it back. All creation has been bought back by God through Jesus' death and resurrection. Because of Jesus' shed blood, all of creation has been bought back. Humanity is redeemed. In Christ, we are saved to eternal life with God. Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. Death has lost its sting. Death. One of the things people fear the most. You know, honestly, in statistically, now 95% of all statistics are made up on the spot, but statistically, there is one thing people fear more than death, only one. And that's speaking in public. Right? I'm serious. People would rather die than speak in public. Okay? But we fear death. But we shouldn't. Death has lost its sting. The grave cannot hold Christ. And it can't hold us either. When we are in Him, the grave cannot hold us. Death is no longer a prison. In Christ, the tomb is empty. Empty. Our future is eternal life with God. That's what our future is. We are part of eternity. What we do matters forever and beyond. Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. Because He is alive, He has proven that He is who He says He is. You know, if He hadn't risen from the dead, we could forget about Him. We could forget what it is He said. It wouldn't matter what He had done. It wouldn't matter what He had said. But you know, since Jesus did rise from the dead, what else He said and what else He did matters a great deal. We don't have to like His teachings. Matter of fact, there are teachings we don't like. We don't have to like them. But He is God, and what He said is truth. Because He has risen from the dead, what He says matters. He is alive, and that changes everything. He has declared that He is making all things new. The resurrection is the beginning of the newness. The new kingdom has begun. To trust in Christ is to walk in a new kingdom. The resurrection gives our life meaning, gives us direction, gives us a fresh start. Because of the resurrection, you can look at your circumstances. What life has been like, the choices you've made, what you've done, but Jesus makes us new. He's more powerful than our circumstances and our choices. We have a new day in Christ because He is alive, and that changes everything. No matter how devastating our struggles have been, no matter how bad our disappointments, no matter how terrible the tragedies, they are only temporary. No matter what happens to us, no matter how much work, no matter how much pain and sacrifice, no matter how much discipline we may need to put out, in the living Christ, we are given strength to persevere through all of it. Because we are made new. We have eternal life in Christ. Our future is secure. It is a future of immeasurable good. The immeasurable goodness is ours. The pain, the struggle, the work of this life, and there's plenty of it. But it's only temporary. Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. We have a living hope. You know, God brought just immeasurable glory, immeasurable brokenness, a blessedness from the brokenness of Christ. God took Jesus being broken. God took the horror, the degradation of the cross, and he brought immeasurable glory and immeasurable blessing. If he can do that, he can take our struggles, he can take the indignities that we go through. He can take our struggles and he can bring blessing and glory to them as well. We have a living hope. And it can't be taken from us. It is as secure as Jesus himself. Jesus' resurrection gives us the promise of our resurrection. It is the promise that this life is temporary. It's the promise that death is not the end. We look forward to an eternity with God in heaven. That's a length of time we cannot possibly fathom. You just can't. We talk about galaxies that are millions of light years away, right? And it would just take forever to get there. Eternity means you go there and you have just as much time left over as when you started. You know, a billion years into it and you still have eternity ahead of you. If every dollar that the government owes were a year, it would be a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. We have an eternity with God in heaven before us. But something we need to remember, good people don't go to heaven. Heaven is not a place for good people. Heaven is a perfect place for perfect people. No one is good enough. I mean, think of the most saintly person you ever met, other than me. think of the most saintly person you ever met or you ever heard of, right? Think of the kindest, nicest, most loving, generous person you ever knew or you ever heard of. He or she is not good enough. No one is, except Jesus. So we need him. We need Christ. We need him in his life, in our lives. We need his life in us. We need his perfection. And that was proven by his resurrection. We need to trust him. We need to put our life into his hands and let him lead us. We need to let him make us new. That's what it means to put our trust in him. We recognize he is in charge. You know, all of us, if you picture a throne inside your heart, inside the core of your body, all of us have this throne. And human nature is that we put ourselves on that throne. You don't need to read much in the way of newspapers or watch much in the way of society, and that is all societies. I'm not talking about American society. I'm talking about everybody. We are all selfish, and we all want our own way. And we all think we are king of our own selves. And that's part of the fall. And we're not good enough. What we need to do is let Jesus be on that throne. Jesus, it's your way. You're in charge. That's what it means to put our trust in Christ. If you've never yet put your trust in Christ, why not today? Why not? Or maybe, you know, you've put your trust in Christ, but you kicked him out of the throne. And people do that. You know, you climb back in and you kind of nudge him out. And you find yourself, you're back on top, you're back in your own throne, and Jesus is sitting on the floor. Why not let him back on the throne? Why not trust him again? Let him have his way. See, it's your way, God, not mine. Whereas most of us want to say, God, it's my way, not yours. I will do it my way, right? Was it Frank Sinatra that sang that song? I did it my way? I mean, he's way, way, way older than I am. I mean, that's way before my time. So, singing I Did It My Way is a nice song, but it's not the way to live a life. It's not the way to heaven. It's God, you have your way in me. So I'm going to pray, and I'd like us all to bow our heads and to pray together with me. And, you know, if you, I would like to be able to pray for you specifically. I mean, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to mention your name or point to you or anything. I will not embarrass you. But I'd like to pray for you that if you want to give God, give Jesus your throne, I'd like you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord God, you are life. Jesus, you are life. Life from outside of death. Life that conquers death. Light that conquers darkness. So much of our lives, Lord, we see that darkness overcomes the light. So many things that happen, so many things we do, it just seems that the darkness overcomes everything and snuffs out. Evil snuffs out good. But you are light that always overcomes. And you are life that always overcomes. You are alive to never die. And we do put our trust in you. We do give you our life. Make us new. Give us the courage, the fortitude. Give us the perseverance to let you work in us and to rebuild us. Lord, use us to bring light and life to those around us. And really, God, as we go through our days, may we honor you and glorify you. May our lives, the choices we make, the things we say, the things we do, the things we don't do and the things we don't say, the things we do when we're alone, may all of that bring glory to you. You are King above all kings, Lord above all lords. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close our service with communion. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. If the ushers will please come forward, they will pass out the bread. When you get it, go ahead and prayerfully eat it. And let us pray. Lord God, we do honor you and we glorify you. As we take this bread and this juice, refresh us, reinvigorate us, renew us, pour your grace into us that we may live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. After they had eaten, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." When you get the cup of juice, if you would, please hold it. We'll drink it together. The blood of Jesus shed for you.